Okay, this is one of the segments we call Conversations with Linda. We're going to take your phone calls, questions, stories, and even ideas for some of the things Linda should work on next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast with Linda Bolton Howe and your calls. Linda, any events coming up for you?
Well, there's one thing fun in October, and that's going to be the Ancient Alien.
I'll be there.
In California. Yeah, will you be there?
I will.
Yeah. Well, I've been in all 9 seasons of Ancient Aliens, and I guess they're having some of us who are kind of regulars there, and to mix with a kind of eclectic crowd of people from movies and books and TV, and it should be fun.
It'll be different, too. Giorgio's supposed to be there, too.
That's right.
Mr. Tsoukalos. So I'm gonna have fun with that.
Yeah.
I really am. How about traveling? What else have you been doing?
Well, after the month in July back east for my daughter's wedding, getting back here was to try to deal with the, golly, it was 3,000 or 4,000 emails and all of the letters and everything that has come. So I have several pieces of in different states that I am working on and have some production upcoming. So I'm very busy, glad to be back in the office, but it was really wonderful to do something that kind of reinforced if humans could just have peace and light and happiness, how wonderful it would be.
Oh, indeed. Now, your September and October reports will be the same last Thursday of the month, right?
That's right.
But now, what are you going to do about November and December? Do you know yet?
We'll have to figure that out because I usually like to do them the week before the holidays.
But you're going to do shows.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's go to the phones. Thomas in La Jolla, California, to get things started. Hi, Thomas. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my
call.
Thing. And you're in for a treat in visiting Asheville. It's just a magnificent
That's
area.
What I hear. I'm looking forward to it this weekend.
Absolutely. And Linda, I want to thank you. You bring a level of excellence to investigative reporting, and that has been lost. And I truly appreciate the work that you do, and I'm sure that the Coast family does also.
Thank you very much.
My question, you have reported recently on the William Tompkins whistleblowing and former naval retiree William Tompkins, and also tonight. And it appears that extraterrestrial factions have been intervening in World War II.
Yeah.
And you talk about, the Anglo-American establishment and then the National Socialist Axis establishment, possible reptilian factions with National Socialism, possible Nordic factions with the Anglo-American establishment. And I was wondering if it just seems to me like there's this proxy war between extraterrestrial factions and the proxies being humankind and human governments. And fast forwarding from World War II to 2016, it would appear that proxy war is still ongoing. It's still possibly hot, possibly a cold war, and it would possibly involve secret extraterrestrial agreements between nations, between corporations and the extraterrestrials to bring about, trade agreements that are secret, terraforming possibly with chemtrails, etc. You know.
Yes, and I do another radio program, too, called Phenomenon Radio with John Burroughs. And one of our guests was Lynn Buchanan, who was a remote viewer for the Defense Intelligence Agency in 1986 to about 1990. And one of his taskings, they learn about that much later, had been Rendlesham Forest, and we were talking with Lynn about what he had found and had gleaned as a very talented remote viewer. And in the process, I said, did you have tasking on any other issues concerning other intelligences during your work at Fort Meade for the DIA next door to the NSA? And he said, lots of them. And he said, one of them was that they do the work and then they find out what the tasking was. It was breaking down life in the universe into friendly non-humans that are psychic, friendly non-humans that are not psychic, unfriendly non-humans that are psychic, and non-friendly humans that are psychic. And he said the most dangerous are the unfriendlies that are psychic. And he said that he remote viewed that there's one group out there that wants to erase the genetic experiment on Earth that we call ourselves humanity. And it's quite powerful, but that we have allies. And that the allies have been equally strong, and that the Prometheus and Enki and those lines of thought of something that is not Homo sapiens sapien, but cares about this strange life form that we are, being able to survive and thrive. And it was William Mills Tompkins who added the important dot on all of this when he said, Linda, when I was doing the scale models for the Navy during World War II and after the war, he said, I was exposed then that our government in the United States was already beginning to develop trade routes with what we would consider to be allies. Well, if that was happening in the 1940s, going to the heart of what you're asking about, a secret war juxtaposed against secret allies, and that we may, in this 21st century, have the experience as a planetary civilization of finally being presented with some facts and truth about our history as well as now and the future, as if we are waking up in the middle of a Star Trek, and that we are learning that our government already has trade routes, they are established, we do have allies, and that the big problem is filling in the gap between animal mutilations, human abductions, and going back a few thousand years to the Anunnaki, as Chris Hardy describes in The Wars of the Anunnaki, that they nuked each other. It would be having family feuds, and they, instead of screaming obscenities, they would nuke each other. What kind of history does this planet have and has it had when there seems to be the excitement that is growing that we're going to start launching these wafer spacecraft that can go 25 or 30% the speed of light, and we can be at Alpha Centauri, Proxima Centauri, in about 20 years from a launch. And then, as the physicist that I interviewed about this on Coast just a few months ago said, we will start doing waves of launches so that each launch will be more advanced than the previous one. And eventually we'll get closer and closer to the speed of light, and it will take 4 years to get to Alpha Centauri, where there may be a rocky planet with some ocean. At least that's the suggestion in the press conference yesterday by the European Southern Observatory, and that we will find ourselves with different generational relationships to a new revolutionary fact that we already have links and connections. And remember, George, when Gary McKinnon hacked into the Department of Defense, and yep, what did he see?
He's still on the lam, too, isn't he?
Well, I talked with him last month, and we may, I don't know. I've asked him if he would do an interview to go back, and he said, Linda, I am happy to talk with you, but I'm not sure I want to do it public yet. And if I can get him to talk to me publicly, you'll hear
that'd
it on
that'd be great.
But remember, we were talking about exactly the subject right now together, and he said what he saw were Starship Fleet numbers and names of crew. Starship.
Amazing.
That's exactly what William Mills Tompkins said that he had knowledge about.
And he doesn't have any reason to lie to you, does he?
Oh, no. And neither does Tompkins. Tompkins had his 93rd birthday this spring. As he said, I have nothing to lose anymore. I'm telling the truth. And the truth is we are in a universe. It is teeming with life, and it all does not get along. And there are space wars, and there have been all kinds of different types of agendas on this planet, and we've had it all covered up with mythology that was not mythology. The Greeks were extraterrestrials, the Anunnaki were extraterrestrials, and we, humans, are a hybridization. It's discussed in the Bible, the hybridization, the mixing and matching of things that were calling themselves gods and they were not gods, and we are the result.
Debbie is near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Hi, Debbie, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Yes. Linda, I have been really wanting to talk with you about this, and I've more or less kept putting it off and putting it off. I have a book that I keep because it is the most interesting book I've ever read. And it's copywritten in 1982, and it's called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Joanna Michelson. And it's a foreword in it of Hal Lindsey. Have you ever met her or anything?
No, I've never heard of the book or the author, or no.
Really?
Of course, Hal's been our program before.
She has.
Hal Lindsey.
I don't know anything about the book. What is the bottom line on The Beautiful Side of Evil?
Okay. it's a true account of a young woman who, while in search of spiritual truth, became a personal assistant to a psychic surgeon in Mexico for 14 months. And God showed her that was deceitful and it was evil. But it took a while, you know. Now, she was very young when she wrote this book, so I would imagine, you know, she's not real old yet. But,
well,
George, you say that
does her experience and the insights in the book link to non-humans interacting with this planet for their own agendas?
I think so. I think so. But, I mean, she, she has, you know, all the equipment there to do, you know, to intermingle with things, but she has chosen not to.
Well, there may be things that are unfriendly, as Lynn Buchanan remote viewed, but I think it's very clear that we would not be alive as a growing, thriving race on planet Earth if there had not been protections, perhaps both in the unseen dimensional, other dimensional side, as well as very biological and advanced other intelligences. And I think, personally, I think it would be so exciting if this entire planet could be introduced to the allies and we drop all of these lies and policies of denial that are just pointless now, and get on with introducing Homo sapiens sapiens to life forms out there that appear to care about us and do trade with us, and that we jump from old 1800s thinking to 21st century and beyond. That's what I'd like to see happen.
I don't think we'll ever get government disclosure, though, Linda. What do you think?
They've got to. As John Brandenburg said, you know, there's a half-light on light on lies. And the very fact that John is talking as a well-educated plasma physicist at a conference as prestigious as this one that is going to be mid-September, and that he's going to be talking about the hard data for two hydrogen bomb explosions in the northern hemisphere of Mars, and people are no longer dissing him or laughing. because apparently the data cannot be ignored. So we have to come to terms with what has happened in this solar system for real.
Let's go to Keith in Houston, east of the Rockies. Keith, you're on with Linda. Go ahead.
Yes, on the Zika virus, I remember the president coming out and making a statement about how we need to protect ourselves from mosquitoes because the mosquitoes don't stop at customs. Well, this was a bit of disinformation because he, as well as the public, had the information at that time that humans were the transmission vector bringing it into the country. And I was just wondering, did he not mention that because he was afraid that that would give credence to the fact that maybe perhaps we do need a wall, we do need to secure our borders?
Wow. You've made quite a leap. The Zika virus has obviously mutated in some way, and it has become more dangerous both to adults and to fetuses, and the Zika virus is largely transmitted, it appears, by the mosquito bites, but it's also very clear that the Zika virus can survive in male sperm for maybe up to 2 weeks.
Oh, geez.
Now, that means, and there's all kinds of documentation on this, so we have something now that has mutated from a benign virus to something that is insidiously able to destroy progenitor brain cells in adults and in developing fetuses. It's terrible. And whether it is going to be coming through two different types of mosquitoes or three, sperm passing through placentas in blood, there's just headlines now every day. There are more and more doctors and scientists that are studying and reporting on the Zika virus. And so to say that it could be stopped or not be stopped by people at a wall at the border is completely underestimating the power of airplanes that are flying around this world every day and all of the peoples and cities way beyond anybody's walls in which the mosquito or the contaminated sperm or whatever else they're going to find out about Zika can be exposing humans and fetuses to this virus that wants to eat brain cells.
It's amazing how these viruses have laid dormant for a while and then they explode all of a sudden.
Well, it doesn't happen to all of them, but in this case, here from 1947, to 2007, it was a kind of, it's there,
but asleep.
Never did too much, and all of a sudden, we are dealing with something potentially extremely dangerous, because as Dr. Rasko said, if there are thousands, millions of cases in which there has been contamination of females that potentially could be carrying fetuses, and that this virus is chewing away, eating away.
It's tragic, Linda. It's tragic. We're coming back with final calls next. Well, I'm heading for Asheville, North Carolina tomorrow for our event, so Jimmy Church will be filling in for me and manning the desks with some great interviews and some open lines. When we come back in a moment with Linda, we'll take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Linda Moulton Howe as we take phone calls for her for the remaining portion of this half hour. Linda, before we go back to calls, anything else you want to address while we're still here?
I have been seeing the most fascinating emails coming in tonight from people listening. And so what I'll be doing at Earth Files will be posting some of these with or without the permission to use actual names, but the content is really, really extraordinary. So everybody go to www.earthfiles.com, and I'm going to be posting some of this communication that is coming in tonight from people all over.
It's like an army of researchers out there, isn't it?
Well, and people are beginning to open up more and more about their own experiences with the unknown, the unseen, the strange, the unidentified, and that is, I think, healthy, and I want to report it.
People are beginning to feel comfortable now. How come?
Probably because of work like mine, yours, Whitley's, Jim Marr's, that there's some of us who have been trying to open up facts and truth. Whether or not the government would ever do anything, it hardly matters anymore because so many people are whistleblowers, so many people are talking, the millennial generation is already there with that we're not alone in the universe, and it's as if the revolution has been taking place with or without government approval.
Yeah, exactly. Dave in Fairbanks, Alaska, west of the Rockies. David, you're up with us.
All right. Hello, George. I just want to, I'll make it real quick. I just have a comment, a question, and a comment, and I'll make it real quick.
Okay.
First of all, George, I just want to say I'm looking forward, as I always say, to Ghost to Coast. I know that's coming up, and I can't believe it's already been a year. And I'm really looking forward to your conference, and I hope you have a great time.
Thank you.
Also, with Linda, I just had a question, Linda. I've been listening to you for years, and I never call in when you're on the show because I always like to listen. However, I do have a question tonight as we get closer to Halloween. Is that have you ever, and I'll take your answer off the air, but have you ever investigated maybe a paranormal experience or a ghost story so in depth that you found yourself being haunted by the experiences that you were researching from other people? And my other question or my comment beyond that is, since we're getting close to Halloween, Linda, do you find yourself maybe possibly doing some more research, not just from the alien side, but from the ghost or paranormal side? And I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David. Go ahead, Linda.
Thank you. No, I have never felt myself haunted by anything. I have lived a remarkable...
Except humans.
Yeah. I've lived a remarkable life of breaking new ground in a lot of territory and having the, I guess, something inside of me that has kept me going because I so honor the truth. I think the pressure of fact and truth are... so important, and they have always guided me and pushed me forward. So I've never really moved through life with fear or even thinking about haunting. There's another aspect that's quite interesting, is that the abductee, Jim Sparks, when I first met him at the Eureka Springs Conference in Arkansas, that would have been, I think, around 1992 or 3, that Jim Sparks came to that conference, and I got to talk with him. And it was so refreshing to be with somebody who had so much conscious recall, who said, look, when it comes to ghosts, it's my understanding that most of it is because we're dealing with a technology of beings that can be 5 billion light years from us.
That's right.
And that they have the ability to penetrate other dimensions or to fold space-time so that they can parcel out only a certain percentage of their molecular, whatever you want to call their existence, in order to monitor and interact on this planet. They don't have to be here organically. They don't have to have whole androids. They have self-activating software, and that they can extend a certain amount, a certain percentage of molecules, at least this was Jim's way of describing it, so that they can have a presence on this planet, they can download, upload information. But what we see that looks translucent and humans have often called ghosts are simply their technology gathering and sending information.
Let's go to first-time caller Kathy in Cleveland, Ohio. Good morning, Kathy.
Hi there.
Hi.
Linda, I've been a fan since the 90s with Art Bell, so thank you for doing all the great work you do.
Thank you.
The reason I'm calling is back in the early 2000s, when Charlie Gibson was the host of Good Morning America,
mm-hmm.
I remember that show on ABC, and he was introducing Reverend Billy Graham because he had written a book, an autobiography of his life. So in part of the introduction, he made the mention that Reverend Graham has been the spiritual advisor to every sitting president since Harry Truman. So they get into the interview, very interesting and all of that, and then he makes a mention. He says, well, Reverend Graham, you're getting up there in years, and I read that there's a chapter about death, and you had some interesting concepts about death, but what do you really think about death? And he says to Charlie Gibson, well, I'll tell you, when I get to the pearly gates, I don't want to just sit on a rocking chair on a front porch somewhere. I'm going to tell the Lord that I would like to evangelize to other beings on other planets.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute he said this, I was shocked. I just couldn't believe it. This is back in the VCR days, and I didn't have it on. They went ahead and cut to commercial. And when they came back from the commercials, no Billy Graham. It was on to another story, like he was never on the show.
Oh, my heaven.
I know.
The sensitivity
of Charlie Gibson.
Government.
I know he's retired.
Yeah.
But he's got a story to tell you, and if you can get a hold of Reverend Graham, wow, that would be something.
Well, what you're describing is reinforcing the impression I have, too, that the sensitivity of this government since World War II about what was the true nature of World War II, as William Mills Tompkins, the man who worked with the Navy, said, this was a quote, that was an extraterrestrial war fought through human bodies. And if that is true, and our government in England and the Allies caught on to the multidimensionality of what was happening in World War II, and they had Foo Fighters, and they had discs that were chasing after our rocket developments at White Sands, and they had, like what I reported tonight, there were all kinds of interactions between white and silver and various colored objects in the sky, and airplanes that we were flying, either civilian or military, in which there were electromagnetic interferences. And that sets up a question. If I were President Truman or FDR, and I knew these facts, I would say, are we at war with something we don't understand? Or are they trying to get our attention that if we do defy anything that they are communicating telepathically or otherwise, there will be, as Len Stringfield said, payback will be bad. It will be painful. And that there has been a secret war is one word,
mm-hmm.
secret tension is another, between a presence that is perhaps not just one agenda, but multiple agendas. And if we knew the truth about what the leaders of this country and England and others have been trying to deal with since World War II, we might have compassion for their policies of lies. But I think that in the 21st century right now, I think that this planet, in all of the violence and ISIS and all of it, that one of the best things that could possibly happen is for all governments to tell the truth about the real state of this universe, other life in it, and our relationship to that other life. I think that has to happen.
Let's go to Mike now in West Palm Beach, Florida. Mike, you're up with us. Go ahead. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Unfortunately, with the virus, what you were talking about, it's too late. Let me explain what's happened.
Oh, well, wait, do you have a medical background or...
What's that?
Do you have a medical background in which to talk about the Zika virus?
No. I'm just telling you what I've written. I'm not a medical doctor, but I'm looking for what's going on in the press. I'm very alert. I live here in Florida. What's happening, right? What's happening is Florida, Puerto Rico has been devastated. economically, and now the virus has spread throughout the whole island.
Yep.
Thousands of Puerto Ricans are leaving every month for the mainland. They're pouring into Florida and the cities of the Northeast. And with them comes the virus.
True.
Now, President Obama, 10 months ago, went to the Congress and said, I need $2 billion to stop this thing. The Republican Congress has refused to appropriate the money. Mm-hmm. That's where we stand today, all right? The governor here in Florida is a Republican. He doesn't have the money to do anything. He's lying. Yes, he's lying about the extent of it because he can't do anything about it. He doesn't have the funds to stop it. And that's where we stand right now.
Mike, you're breaking up.
Oh, yeah.
Right at the end. I don't want to get rid of you, but we can't hear you.
Well, the man that I had on tonight in the first half hour, Professor Rasko from Penn State, he is an expert on mosquitoes. And for the next 2 years, he is going to be personally the one directing research looking for what they call vectors, meaning there can be, I think in the United States, there's something like 25 or 26 different types of mosquitoes, of which the two dominant ones we discussed tonight, and there may be Culex, maybe a third. There may be a fourth, a fifth, a sixth. But in the process of their doing investigations of the guts and the salivary glands of a bunch of different mosquitoes, they will be trying to come up with a way to defeat the mosquitoes in terms of their reproduction that could stop the mosquitoes in their tracks. The second thing is that there are spraying programs that are beginning. And a third thing is that there was a newspaper story just a day or two ago that in primate studies with the Zika virus, that they feel like they're getting closer and closer to a vaccine already. So we're not in a dammed up river. We're in a fast moving river. It's changing all the time. And it may be that as much as this virus has mutated in, or whatever it is that's giving it its ability to destroy brain tissue, that we on the other side are countering it in labs, and that New York, just by New York getting out and starting spraying and not waiting for anybody else and saying, we're going to start doing this, that there, we are seeing proactive action being taken. So I understand exactly what you said, and Puerto Rico has been just a mess with this virus, and yet we haven't heard much news outside of the two men who died from paralysis from the Guillain-Barré syndrome that they got in conjunction with having the Zika virus in them. And the Zika virus was clearly attacking brain tissue, probably is the link to the paralysis. So Puerto Rico, thousands and thousands of cases, it shows that Brazil may not have gotten on our radar either if there hadn't been the Olympics. And
that's right.
How many more people would have been infected if they hadn't started yelling about the virus there, and then everybody became more aware, and now we have it in the United States, and what will we do about it is what you're asking. And it is not a Democratic problem, a Republican problem, or an independent problem. This is a human challenge up against a dangerous new virus in the environment that is attacking at the most critical level, the developing fetus, and this has to get stopped.
So it's crushing. It truly is, and it's just coming on like gangbusters.
Right.
One mosquito can do it, right? Just one.
Yeah. If the woman doesn't know she's pregnant, and she can get the virus through sperm or a mosquito bite, this is suddenly a much, much more critical time for everybody thinking about being pregnant or in a relationship. If you're not taking care to make sure you're not going to get mosquito bites, or if the male partner has any possible question about whether he has been bitten or has been exposed, I'm telling you right now, this is a time to check in with doctors.
When was the last time you were bitten by a mosquito, Linda?
In July, after my daughter's wedding, we went down to Disney World for 4 days, and we just had a ball. But boy, they had mosquitoes there, and so we may have been infected.
You never know.
I have not noticed. Now, see, the people who have had the deteriorating problem with remembering and all of that, there have been clear impacts. That would mean that that the virus has gotten into a part of the brain that these studies are showing. If you haven't had deterioration or Guillain-Barre, then probably you haven't been affected that way. It's now we're becoming so rapidly aware of the consequences that it is now a time for everybody everywhere to be using DEET. And for women who may even be thinking about being pregnant, to not be going outside where there are mosquitoes without being covered up and using DEET.
Got to be safe. Linda, thank you. We'll talk to you in September.
That's right.
There's a song about that. See you in September. Okay. Thanks,
God
Linda.
Bless. Safe travels, and everybody take care.
You got it. And, of course, I'm going to be in Asheville, North Carolina this weekend. Those of you who have been thinking of coming out there, do so. Full information at coasttocoastam.com, and we'll have a great meet and greet and have some fun as well. So definitely come on out. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.